Good morning, everyone. My name is Deb Singh. I'm going to begin. And I'm a counselor and activist at the Toronto Crisis Center, Multicultural and Enslaved. I want to thank the committee today for allowing me here on the land of people of the Mississauga Credit, the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, the Huron-Wendat, and the Métis of Ontario for the opportunity to do this work and this deputation. I would like to start today by saying that as an organization that celebrated its 40th year in 2014, the Toronto Crisis Center, Multicultural Living and Straight, has been supporting survivors as well as preventing violence for just about that long. Today we are going to highlight one of the ways we have been doing these things through education and training. I would like to introduce to you Catherine. Catherine has been a volunteer at TRCC for about 5 years. When Catherine first started the crisis line as a volunteer, she was trained on topics such as violence against women, feminism, anti-oppression, peer counseling, the global war on women, working across difference, policies and procedures, activism, and of course sexual violence. As time went on, she learned even more about dealing with trauma, rape culture, legal and medical intervention, as well as violence prevention. Catherine started thinking differently about the world we live in. When her co-worker shared a racist joke at work, she felt empowered to name it. When her friend sent her a sexist email forward, she felt the need to interrupt it. When her friend shared opinions on survivors lying about rape, she needed to address it. Or when a family member needed support, and when they were going through something, she listened and offered resources. The ongoing training and learning she was doing at the TRCC AMO was affecting just about everybody she knew, whether they liked it or not. Training and education is crucial to violence prevention. The TRCC AMO imagines having even more tools to access information, outreach more volunteers, change even more minds about what is permissible when it comes to sex. Although some might believe that we work in a limited capacity, only servicing women when violence has occurred, we in fact serve all survivors of violence, and we are in the business of changing attitudes through education and access. According to our census statistics, 16% of our callers on our 24-hour crisis line are male identified. And while we currently train cisgender women, trans men, trans women, two-spirited gender folks, genderqueer folks on our crisis line, we also train cisgender men in context of universities, high schools, after-school programs, service survivors, etc. But without more funding, we have only been able to outreach, create workshops, and training modules to a point. As the only rape crisis center in the city of Toronto, we want to facilitate workshops and conduct formal training with even more groups of men in diverse communities working to end sexual violence through education. And while it is a humble request, no one can underestimate the power of breaking the silence around sexual violence, even in the context of education. The training aspect of our center goes beyond individual volunteers on our crisis line. We train service providers, students, academics, faculty, police and legal personnel, and other crisis center workers. We are also involved in informal restorative justice and community accountability procedures and policy making when organizations or communities, institutions have had a sexual assault happen within them and are asked to enforce or create a policy around the violence. In conjunction with this, communities often also request that we facilitate conversations as the violence has, of course, affected the entire group or community, not only the survivor and the perpetrator. This work is particularly crucial because it offers a space for folks around the survivors or perpetrators to debrief and support each other with formal tools you can offer and support in creating structures and policies when sexual violence happens within your community, organization, or group again. With additional funds, we will be able to co-create with survivors restorative justice measures that could possibly support whole communities in terms of healing and where numbers of community members are affected by the sexual violence. We can be part of creating many opportunities to talk and heal in an ongoing fashion. While we can't divulge the communities or groups in where we have done this work, we can say we have been asked to support people on university campus housing, games clubs, community organizations, feminist publications, a feminist publication group, and nonprofit bookstores, just to name a few. We have supported such communities when rape or other forms of violence or oppression have occurred in your context, and they require a number of different supports, which include, but are not limited to, emotional support group for individuals, policy and procedure writing, community accountability models, workshops, and ongoing support over time. To be more specific, if we were to receive funding, a significant increase in sustainable core funding from the It's Never Okay campaign, the opportunity to expand our work to include more training opportunities for ourselves and our volunteers, both inside and outside the TRCC online, to increase awareness, to increase accessibility, to increase outreach, would be transformative in the fight to eradicate sexual violence. Many of the groups who have made deputations to this committee are experts in their field. It is important that we listen and we learn from one another, all working to the same goal, to end violence against women and trans people. As mentioned, the Toronto Rape Crisis Centre, Multicultural and Trans Rape, has 40 years of experience delivering frontline services, training and education, which translates into 40 years of exercises, training and workshop modules we have created to attempt at creating a more just world. We have been able to share an oral history of anti-oppressive self-work exercises for years, but most recently, with a one-time grant, we were able to use technology differently, i.e. acquire a laptop and a projector, making our workshops and training modules more accessible for different learning styles, as well as accessible, more accessible based on ability and age. So the simplest thing will make violence prevention an actual possibility if we just invest in them. We know that It's Never Okay campaign has a keen emphasis on reporting violence as a tool to stop it. In our experience as a sexual assault or crisis center, this is unfortunately not the case. We can create measures in order for survivors to feel more confident to report the occurrence of sexual assault, but this alone will not stop the violence. In fact, reporting itself has not decreased the incidence of violence. Our communities of men have to feel less invested in the permissible nature of sexual violence in our current world. There must be more to encourage men not to rape, not just the fear of punitive measures. We must create a culture of consent in place of the culture that currently exists. And we believe time, education, and more money to all the organizations who have lobbied is one of the answers. That and the crisis centers in particular have been underfunded for a long while, and we can see this reflected in many ways. Our recommendation to the It's Never Okay campaign in preventing violence against women and trans people is to provide sustainable funding to SACs and RCCs, as we have been doing this work in prevention and education for decades. Every time one of us as workers is asked what our job is, we are providing information and about sexual violence to the community, debunking myths, and breaking the silence around violence when speaking the word rape. We are doing so much of the work to prevent sexual violence against women and trans people in our community, but it's not only about us, it's not only on us. It is on the men of Ontario, the world, to stop sexual violence, and that's why we think education and training is so important. In our experience, survivors have not had positive experiences when reporting rape. From being made to feel like if she doesn't report rape, it's on her if it happens again, to not being believed by police. It is a real travesty that we have needed to coin a phrase like civil victimization. With that in our mind, it is our hope, our vision as a TRCC MNI, to turn the It's Never Okay funding into a place where survivors have access to research and actively use as an option the tools and methods of restorative justice community accountability model. For decades, the TRCC has been using these methods with survivors to get their own more emotionally satisfying brand of justice. We have encouraged survivors to take action in their community through letter writing, group or singular support to the survivor, even mediation with the perpetrator. While the restorative justice model may not be for everyone, It is useful and comforting to offer survivors places where this form of support can centralize the survivor in the process versus being a witness to the crime against them. Further, we are in support of a model that allows more concrete measures, again, directed by the survivor, than simply the punitive model. One thing I can say with the utmost confidence about the Toronto Risk Crisis Center Multicultural Living and Faith is that we act as accountable as possible to the communities of sexual assault survivors of violence. That is, as we work to support survivors and end violence, our conflict is always directed by what the community is asking for. When we have upwards of 200 new volunteers a year at the center, when we have so many requests for support when sexual violence has happened in the group, community, or to the individual, that there is a backlog among our 7 paid staff, we know that this is a reflection of what is needed in our city and province. Our community at large is asking for more information about sexual violence, support to survivors, survivor-driven resources, tools, and accountability methods. It is, in fact, exciting to support various communities. While violence has affected them, they are empowered enough to reach out and ask for what they think is needed. As I come to the end of my presentation, I need to highlight the following recommendations from the TRCC-MR. One, an increase in funding for sexual assault centers and rape crisis centers. Two, training and education for SACs and RCCs in leadership. Three, Aboriginal-led resources, community resources, including training for SACs. Four, a gender-based analysis. Five, training and education directed towards boys and men. Without these, there is no way forward. At the Toronto Rape Crisis Center, Multicultural Women Against Rape, we believe this is a critical opportunity for you, for us, and for society as a whole. When we receive our existing core funding, we put that money to work as rape crisis centers and sexual assault centers. Now is a crucial time, and we have a huge opportunity with how to allocate the funds from the province. SACs and rape crisis centers have done astonishing work with existing funds. Imagine what we could do to create survivors with this campaign. While our organizations may benefit from these funds, the Ontario government and society have even more to gain. We can present ourselves as leaders in the country, even in a global context, on what is really needed in a movement to end sexual violence. We hope you engage in that opportunity with us. Thank you.